Greetings, dear friends, and the sage's worthy name. God has his best things for the few who dare to stand the test. God has his second best for those who will not take his best. It is not always open ill that risks the promised rest. The better often is the foe that keeps us from the best. May God give his church in these days people who are desperate to be right with him and utterly dissatisfied with what they are apart from his grace. Shall we read from God's word first? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And from Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Please join me in prayer. Merciful God, we bow before you today in that ever-precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name, our God, of your Son, and our blessed Savior, the name of the Eternal One who came from heaven, took upon him the form of a man, even the form of a tiny baby, that he might live as man apart from sin and die for man, man's sin upon the cross. We bless you, Father, because through this Holy One, eternal life is offered full and free. And whosoever will among listeners today, those who know not Christ the Redeemer, they may trust him. They may turn from their sin, they might receive him and have the assurance of your word that when they have Christ, they do have eternal life. So bless every listener and those of us who are your children today. Lord, may we be desperate to know the will and mind of God and the power of God the Holy Spirit working in our lives for your glory. Father, we ask all of this with thanksgiving through the precious blood of the living man in the glory, even the Lord Jesus Christ, at your right hand. Amen. A question today, dear friend. I wonder if you have ever had the desire to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet you find it very difficult. Or perhaps you even feel yourself a failure when you realize that the Lord gave you an opportunity to be a witness, a testimony for him, and you let that opportunity pass by. I'm sure we all have that experience from time to time. I remember a number of years ago while in college, there was a young man sitting just across the aisle from me. And I felt compelled. I was only a babe in Christ, been saved yet less than a year. And yet I felt constrained to share Christ with this young fellow, a fellow student. But just as I was prepared to open the conversation and present Christ to him at the close of that classroom session, another fellow walked up, and I said to myself, well, I'll have plenty of time. I'll wait till a more opportune time, and then I'll share Christ with him. That was a Friday. That night, he was killed in an automobile accident. Friend of mine, what is it that we need that enables us to be consistent and fervent and diligent and zealous in sharing Christ with those who know not the blessed Redeemer? Rest assured, we're not talking about public preaching or teaching. But we're simply talking about this business that is the opportunity and the responsibility and the obligation of every blood-bought, born-again child of God to simply share Christ, to be a witness for him. A witness, you know, is one who testifies or tells of what he saw or experienced. In court, they want eyewitness accounts given, not hearsay. Not impression, but the judge or the attorney will impress upon you. You tell us exactly what you saw. You tell us exactly the conversation that you heard. Not what somebody told you happened, but you must give what you know to be fact, what you experienced and heard or saw for yourself. In Acts chapter 2, we read, This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. those who were testifying, Peter in particular, in Acts chapter 2, was telling that to which he was a witness. And friend of mine, we want those today, God wants, I should say, those today who will be a fervent, zealous, and exact witness according to the Word of God and according to the power of His Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 35, Peter and the other disciples all said, "Though I should die with you, I will not deny you." And 21 verses later, at the arrest of the Lord Jesus, the scripture says they all forsook him and fled. Peter, who was so outspoken, Peter, who was so determined, Peter, who was so committed, he followed afar off. And then we come to that section in Matthew 26 that we read from a moment ago, that infamous denial. Note the contrast. Verse 26, he said, if we should die with you, I'll not deny you, said Peter. And yet in verse 69, a little girl comes up and she says, "You were with Jesus?" He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." How different from the verse in chapter 2 where he stands before all the people of Israel there, and he declares, "Ye men of Israel, ye have taken, and by wicked hands ye have crucified and slain." Note the contrast. Denying the living Christ before a little girl, and then declaring the truth that you men standing before me are guilty of crucifying the Lord of glory. In verse 71 of Matthew 26, it says that another maid, another little girl, another young lady says, "This fellow was with Jesus." And it says, with an oath, Peter says, "I don't even know the man." We go to Acts chapter 4. He's before the Sanhedrin. And this has been referred to as the Supreme Jewish Court of Justice. And Peter stands there, and he begins to give his defense. We read it from Acts chapter 4, and for sake of time, verse 10, "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Note the contrast. A second denial before a young lady, and then standing here before these authorities and declaring Jesus Christ to be the one they crucified, the one who was declared as the stone rejected by the builders. And he said, "There's salvation in none other name. There's salvation nowhere else except in the Lord Jesus Christ." Note Peter's stand in this case. He was determined. He was convinced and convicted. And he didn't care who they were. It was Christ. Back to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 73. A third time, he is challenged. "Surely there are also one of them. For your speech doth betray you. We can tell by the way you speak that you are one of his." And in verse 74, it says he began to curse and swear, "I know not the man." In Acts chapter 5, he was imprisoned by the authorities, and he was commanded not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preached Christ anyway. Why? He says we ought to obey God rather than man. "The God of our fathers raised up the Lord Jesus, whom ye slew, and hanged on a tree." And what does he say? "We are his witnesses." What made the great difference in the two Peters? The Peter of Matthew 26 and the Peter of Acts 2, 4, and 5. History goes on to tell us, history mind you, that when Peter was being crucified for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his obedience to the Great Commission, he asked those who were crucifying him that he might be hung upside down, head down, because, again, history, not the Bible, history tells us that he told those crucifying him that he was not worthy to be crucified like his Lord. Friend, what was it that brought this great change in the apostle's life and attitude? From cowering and lying before a girl to boldly preaching Christ before the political and religious leaders, and then even to sealing his testimony with his own blood. In the Gospel according to John, Jesus made a promise. He says, "We will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He shall be in you, and shall testify of me, and ye also shall know, bear witness." Beloved child of God, the secret to being a witness for the Lord Jesus is unleashing the Holy Spirit, which God implants in these bodies, which he calls his temple, the very moment we are born again. The scripture says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So in Acts chapter 2, we see the initial baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the church had its birth, when Peter, the cowering disciple, became Peter, the great bold worker and proclaimer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He changed from a coward to one who was empowered and thrust forth by the power of the Holy Spirit. A friend of mine, just turn loose and let the Holy Spirit have all of you. Let the Holy Spirit have your body. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies, those bodies that are already the temple of the Holy Ghost, and let the Holy Spirit work through you and demonstrate his power in witnessing to the ungodly, the lost. He shall be in you and shall testify of me, the Lord Jesus said, and you shall also bear witness. He became more specific from that verse we read a few moments ago in verse 8 of Acts 1. Ye shall receive power. There's not a person listening today who can live for the Lord Jesus, who can bring glory to the Lord Jesus' name apart from the indwelling Holy Spirit. For he's the one that gives us the power to live Christ and to proclaim Christ, to preach Christ. Ye shall receive power as the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In Acts chapter 2, he made good this promise, and the Holy Spirit came there upon all believers, and they experienced the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in the very same manner that the Lord Jesus had foretold in John chapter 15. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Apostle Paul tells us the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. Romans 8 and 9. Romans 8, 16 says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And this is what wrought the change in Peter's life. This is God's provision for blessing and power, friend of mine, in your life. And it's the only source of power that will enable each of us to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Acts chapter 4, we read that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and they took knowledge of him that he had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully as we close. The Spirit's ministry is to testify concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, John 15:26. And it's to glorify Christ, John 16:14. And the Spirit was not sent. He's not here today to speak of himself. So many people today are all occupied with the Holy Spirit, and they're putting more emphasis upon the gifts of the Spirit than they are on the one who gives them, the Lord Jesus. Friend of mine, don't be occupied with anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. For the writer in Colossians, Paul writes and tells that he alone is to have the preeminence. So he not only directed Peter and the disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ, but these witnesses, friend of mine, have also directed us to him. If you know him today, love him and live for him and give Christ the preeminence and witness for him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know him, friend of mine, trust him, accept him, be born again. And if we can help, call us. May the Lord bless you. Amen.